We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tom Brady's just about done. He is going to fall off a cliff. Tom Brady is going to be a bum in short order.
Did you just say that Tom Brady is just about done?
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Remember the Roadrunner cartoons, guys? The coyote would be tricked into running off the cliff. Did he fall right away? No. He thought there was still ground under his feet, and then he fell. And I think that's where Tom Brady is right now. Enjoy him while you can, folks. He's like a meteor coming through the atmosphere. Right before it crashes, it burns brightest. This is it.
Don't get mad at me.
I'm the only one right now truly with the credibility to say, hey, Tom Brady.
Oh,
congratulations.
It's interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. And we want to congratulate Max Kellerman, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. It is 4 years now. With First Take, and it is 4 years since he made that prediction. Just about done. First of all, Max, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Did you hear those brilliant metaphors? Oh, my God. Who can adjust to metaphors like that on the fly? First of all, it's not 4 years. This is what happened.
I got on
first show. It was July, I want to say, of 16. I said 18 months on the outside. That took you up through the 2019 season. Now, you did not cliff. That is true. He's more like tumbling down a ravine. But guys, if you want to pretend Tom Brady was the same guy last year as he'd been the year before and the year before that, it was a precipitous drop off.
I think as Patriot fans, we would agree. Last year looked a little bit different, but that was 3 years after the prediction. I believe he won a Super Bowl and MVP shortly after he says he's about to fall off a cliff, though.
I said 18 months. So now take summer of 2016, right?
Yeah.
18 months takes you through the 2016 season, because that 6 months, you know, takes you to, I don't know, past the Super Bowl in that season.
Okay.
Through the 2017 season, he defied the prediction by 1 year, where he was Super Bowl MVP in the lowest scoring, by the way, in the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time.
He was
a Super Bowl MVP on a great defensive team with the greatest coach ever and a running game. He messed up less than the quarterback on the other side of opposite him. And then last year really fell off. I was a year late.
Max, I'm shocked. I had a bet with the fellas. I said you were going to come on here and say, like, what any good person would do and say, I was wrong. No?
I just said, yes, I was, by 1 year.
Wrong. Yeah, well, you know, whether you were, I tell you what, Max, whether you were wrong or right, I tell you what, I don't think anyone.
Max, are you on a speakerphone? Because it's tough to hear you.
Oh, no, actually, I'm on AirPods because they say it's easier to hear me, but let me take them out.
Let me just see, because it's a little bit muffled there. I want to be able to appreciate your work.
Is that any better?
Max, I was saying, like,
I was told that it's worse.
Yeah, whether you were right or wrong, I don't think it even matters. I don't think anyone has gotten more, you know, out of a quote than you have with the cliff and the bum in the same kind of sentence. I mean, because I was curious.
Well, I should have never said bum, and I apologize for that the next day because I was being glib, but I should never have said bum. I don't, you know, that's not, especially about someone like Tom Brady. But I did believe in the cliff. Okay, I was wrong in two ways. One,
it was a year after my prediction. And two, it's much more of a ravine than a cliff. You know, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, those guys, oh my God, they're better than they've ever been. And all of a sudden they couldn't play anymore.
But Max,
and I was expecting something like that, whereas Brady was better than he'd ever been. And then he kind of, he took a steep fall, but he's still NFL. And even then I said he could be average. He's a little better than average still, but I don't think much.
But correct me if I'm wrong. You think he's going to be pretty good down in Tampa, though, right? I mean, if he's off the cliff.
I think an average, and I just said maybe even a little better than average quarterback, given that offense and all the weapons around him in that situation, can put up some numbers. Let's see if Tom Brady does it. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think last year, you know, he's not the, let's look at what happened, because it's not like Belichick wasn't seeing the same thing that I was seeing. He wanted to get rid of Brady for Garoppolo. Brady did an end around Belichick, went to the owner, went to Kraft, and got Garoppolo shipped out of town. Garoppolo took a team that couldn't win to save their lives, went 5-0, gets hurt. They, again, can't win to save their lives. He comes back, they don't lose. They go to the Super Bowl, have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Like, Belichick saw that and wanted to replace Brady with that guy. He couldn't. Brady left the cupboard bare for him. Meantime, Brady needed to beat, and the Patriots needed to beat Miami last week of the season. That's a game you always win, but you didn't. And then you need to win a playoff game. You know, when you don't have a bye in the first round in the worst division ever, it's easy to advance. It was a little harder last year. And he couldn't do it because he's getting old.
So do you think that, like, based on everything that you've just said, they're almost better off with Cam Newton?
This year it's possible, except, of course, there's not the continuity. You know, the thing about Brady and Belichick, and Belichick also, like, look at how the team was structured. Belichick realized, okay, if Brady can game manage and be big when we need him to be, right, which is like, you know, I'm an Eli Manning fan. That's all Eli ever was at his best. If he can do that and we can have a real great defense, especially in the secondary, and a conservative offense, we can get this done. But even then, the returns in the playoffs were diminished last year. And that, like, Belichick was planning for the future with continuity, but the best he can do now is try to kind of a stopgap measure without the continuity and see what he can cobble together as he looks for the next franchise guy.
We're talking to Max Kellerman of ESPN. So you tell me, in the business here, is it good business to talk about the Patriots and Belichick and Brady? And if this thing does fall apart, does it take away a big portion of what you guys do in First Take?
This is what we do on First Take. By the way, am I trolling Boston? Only if I'm doing it right. You know,
yeah.
Of course, I hate Boston.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm from New York. But the point is, whenever you have the holy cow, right, the thing you are not allowed to criticize, whether it's Tom Brady and the Patriots or it's LeBron James and wherever he is or whoever that athlete is, who is the best at what they do, but no one's perfect. And all you have to do is ask the question that gets your honest answer to be, hey, this guy isn't perfect, and people will lose their minds. And, of course, that's good for ratings.
So, Max, you know, do you think that the Patriots are going to continually benefit as far as fan interaction, fan support, media support, as far as, like, their brand loyalty? There's just a history of winning, and the flying Elvis just emotes certain emotion, and, you know, it tells you something about them. Do you think that that's coming to an end? Because I sit there and I look at all these teams, all these guys that are leaving, and people still think they're going to go all the way, you know, to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, again, I would say what they had, and I'm not saying Garoppolo is a top five quarterback, but he's a special player. And what Belichick was preparing for was what the Yankees had when Joe DiMaggio was in his last season and Mickey Mantle came up. And DiMaggio hated Mantle, of course, because he was taking his shine and he couldn't play anymore. And Mantle was this superstar. And it was seamless. So DiMaggio comes up in the late 30s. Mantle's not done to the mid-60s, late 60s. And the whole time until the mid-60s, the Yankees were like the Patriots were. And because they had a succession plan. But Brady, like in his last act, left you guys in a bad spot. Belichick was planning for a smooth transition and I think would have given you unbroken success. And by unbroken success, like – you know what it is. If you, the Patriots were amazing even when they weren't winning Super Bowls. They were winning double digits, and not just like 10 games, every year, and usually advancing in the playoffs. That's all you can ask for, because at a certain point, it is a bit of a crapshoot. It's a one-and-done elimination because of the nature of football. And Belichick was setting you up for that for the foreseeable future with a guy who understood the system, who was groomed, and you had perfect continuity. And was a lot like Brady, not as strong-armed, but quick reads, gets the ball out fast, all that stuff. And you don't have that now, and that is because of Tom Brady. But I still think that even though a guy like Brady is an extension of Belichick on the field, just like Tim Duncan was for Popovich or Jeter was for Joe Torre, if you're saying who was it more about, Belichick or Brady, clearly Belichick, and you still have him. So I expect the Patriots, even if they were to not make the playoffs this year, I'd expect them to be better than 500, and I would expect them to make the playoffs the year after and regain that kind of luster.
So get more into that, because I'm curious. We have that debate all the time, Belichick or Brady, and I don't think we're going to find out, right? Because I think Brady is down in Tampa. Belichick's team, I don't really think, is going to be very good. But why do you say it's clearly Belichick and not the greatest quarterback of all time?
Well, Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not the best quarterback of all time. And by the way, no one who's ever watched him really thought that while they watched him. Like, early on, the Brady-Peyton comparison was like Joe Montana to Dan Marino, right? Like, one guy's putting up better numbers and is more talented, but the other guy's winning the Super Bowl. Largely, that's because he was with Bill Walsh, Joe Montana. But that, if you took two equally bright kids, one went to Harvard, one went to City College, after 4 years, the one who went to Harvard is better. They're smarter, right? Because they've had those compounding advantages, and that was Brady with Belichick. So in the first half of his career, he was a little overrated. Great player, no question, but a little overrated. And by the second half of his career, he really became the player people thought he was in the first half. He was actually not just steady Eddie and not faltering under pressure, but like putting up big numbers and elevating under pressure. And I know you guys know this because you watched him more closely than me, and I noticed it from where I'm sitting. So, but at no point were you like, Brady is actually better, not me anyway, than Peyton, except for when it matters most. Or Brady is better than Aaron Rodgers, except for when it matters most. So he had that. He was among the best ever, and he was in a great situation for him. But what situation was that? The coach and the GM was the best of all time. The best of all time. When Brady goes down, Matt Castle won 10 games.
I won 11, but they didn't make the playoffs. So.
Well, no, you won 11, yeah. But Castle won 10.
Okay. So, he came in pretty early in the first game. So,
yes. First quarter.
So winning is the most important thing, because I agree with everything you just said. You want to look at the statistics. Yeah, I do. When early on in Brady's career, the statistics were not there versus Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton Manning had much better receivers, had better talent out there, and the Patriots were built on defense, as you mentioned, especially those first three championship teams. But if you had one game to win, Rodgers or Brady? Peyton Manning or Brady? What do you do?
I don't know. I mean, you give Bill Belichick Aaron Rodgers. No question, Aaron Rodgers.
So you think it's all Bill?
But he didn't have Bill Belichick. Like, look, put it this way. Baseball is a game of GMs. The general manager is the number one determining factor for who has the best team. Basketball is a game of players. The number one determining factor is who has the best player or players, right? Football is a game of coaches, guys. That's the number one determining factor, and that includes the quarterback. That's not to say that the quarterback isn't very important and the coach needs the quarterback. Of course he does. But it's really – they used to say, A.J. Liebling, who wrote The Sweet Science, said, boxing is chess played on human bodies. But it's not, because really that's football. And the chess players are the coaches, and that's Belichick. And he was the GM.
That always drives me crazy, Max, when I hear people say that, because it totally devalues his accomplishments as if he couldn't accomplish the same thing somewhere else. To me, it's not that simple. It's really both are dependent on each other in a time and place that would never exist in any other situation. So, because I would say, listen, you want to give him Aaron Rodgers? That relationship lasts 3 years. Look at Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah, you might be right.
Bitching and complaining, passive-aggressive comments towards the Packers. I mean, he's acting just like Brett Favre did. So I just don't know. It's easy to say because none of us have an opportunity to find out if it would be true or not. But so the debate carries on.
Listen, you might be right, but like over the long haul. But I think when we say best ever, we're really talking about peak value. And when we say greatest, we're talking about career. So that steady Eddie component of Brady, you're right, makes him the greatest. And by the way, make no mistake, Brady would have been a great player wherever he went. He was great. That was in him intrinsically. But the fact that he was with Belichick made him the greatest of all time. Now let's look at Belichick. Look at his overall record without Brady. Throw out Cleveland, by the way, who he turned into a playoff team pretty quickly originally, right? But throw out Cleveland. Once he got to the Patriots, got some power, got stability, he already had the reps under him. What was his record without Brady? Clearly Brady gave you a premium over Matt Cassel. But what was he? I don't know the record offhand, but you know, I look it up and then I forget it. But it was something close to 20 wins and fewer than 10 losses.
Right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like he was without Brady, not as good as with Brady, but still an excellent winning coach, winning like twice as much as he lost. We don't know what Brady is without Belichick. We're about to find out. But of course, he's past his prime. So if he does well, it's gravy. And if he doesn't do well, he's old.
Yeah. So real quickly, just shifting to basketball real quick, because the Celtics, obviously, you know, we're paying attention to them just as much as anything else. And I know I feel like you've been all over the place with them. You know, on one hand, I feel like you've said, you know, they're a big threat and maybe the Bucks are their biggest threat, or maybe it's Philly. Where do you stand with the Celtics this year with this weird season that they have?
The Celtics are a really interesting team. The funkier the season gets, the more unusual the circumstances, the better I think the Celtics' chances, because I don't think they're the best team. But if Tatum takes a step forward at just the right time and can become the kind of player that you say, that guy can be the best player on a championship team, then I think they can do it in a season like this. I think it's a little bit early. But I think the nucleus is there because you like Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown. What I love about those guys is they can play in the modern NBA on both sides of the floor, and you don't really need to run plays for them. They can get their points in the flow of the game. And when you have a guy like Kemba, who is sort of the best approximation of Kyrie, but a better clubhouse guy, better locker room guy rather, and a kind of better chemistry guy, and maybe a more willing passer in the moment of truth. It's the right kind of compliment if you have a franchise-level scoring option, which Tatum seems to be on his way to becoming. Maybe not there yet, but if he can do it in the playoffs, it's stranger things have happened than a team like the Celtics winning it all, who can defend and shoot.
Okay, what's the best case scenario for them then? I mean, do you see that if all things go right, they go to the NBA Finals? Yes.
No, they can win the championship if all things go right. Why not?
So a week ago, you said the biggest threat to the Bucks was the Sixers. Are you still buying that based on what you've seen?
I don't.
Good luck with the Sixers.
The problem with the Sixers, what they've shown is they don't shoot it enough. They just like
team.
I think that's a little bit overstated. Like, I'm not denying that there seems to be chemistry issues, but if they had some outside shooting, watch those things go away. Like, the weird thing is that Horford can't be on the floor with Embiid. That's weird. You would think of Horford basically as a four, but he's never played the four at any organized level, apparently. He's really a five. And as diverse as his skills are, right, he can bring the ball up if you need him to. He can defend the paint. He can move in the post. He can put the ball on the floor against another big. He can shoot. He can block shots. Like, he can do all kinds of stuff for you. Can't play with Embiid. So that now all of a sudden Simmons is the power forward. You don't have enough shooting on that team. And that was the basic worry going in. I thought maybe Josh Richardson, if he's shooting it well, shoots it just well enough, maybe with Tobias Harris, maybe you have enough shooting.
Now, it's a big part of it. It's a big part of it, but they're dysfunctional. They really are dysfunctional. That is their biggest problem. I mean, they win with shooting last night with a three from Milton, but they were struggling through the entire game again last night. They're toast.
Hey, Max, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you still feel, because I know Kyrie Irving is a polarizing figure here in Boston. I don't think too many fans appreciate his game by the time he left. Would you call him the most skilled basketball player of all time? You still feel that way?
Yeah.
I think
there's a really strong argument to be made. That he is, let's take away the wisdom as to when to deploy those skills, but show me someone else who has handles like him, you could argue has the best handles ever easily, who can finish in the paint like him, even if it's under the rim, who can shoot like him on top of that. Like, on the offensive end, he has every skill you want in a guy his size. It's unbelievable. But he's, the word I used to describe is radioactive.
Yeah.
You know, radioactive, which is, like, powerful, but you got to harness it right. And so far, it hasn't worked out for him. Teams get better when he leaves.
Yeah.
Max has a new show debuting on ESPN Radio. We're going to pick it up on our AM radio station, WEEI AM, beginning 8:50 AM, beginning on August the 17th.
Look at that. Part of the team, 8:50.
Wow, officially part of the family. Wow, yeah,
let's send him one of the T-shirts.
Hey, what do you get for the fourth anniversary anyway? So fourth anniversary of the Cliff. What do you get for something?
Is it paper?
Gold? What do you get for fourth anniversary?
It's more of a ravine than a cliff. Nevertheless, if Tom Brady, the quarterback of the Patriots, you think if Tom Brady was still what he was, he wouldn't be the quarterback of the Patriots?
I think they moved on, Cliff.
So we did hear it, Max. You did apologize to everybody back here in New England, and you said you were wrong. I think I heard it somewhere in the
only about calling him a bum. But I apologized for that 4 years ago.
You got it. Max, good talking to you.
You too, guys.
Thanks,
Max. Right. Kellerman from ESPN on the Harbor One Hotline right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.